Welcome to Common Sense Conversations, where we talk to small business owners and experts in their field and individuals who have insights into how business works. And we have a wonderful one for you today. If you are a fledgling entrepreneur or you're looking to get into purchasing your own business, we're going to talk about funding. But first...
You're listening to The Common Sense Show. If you've just started a new business, or if you're just thinking about it, this podcast is for you. Micah Logan has a stellar track record coaching small businesses to achieve six-figure revenue streams. The advice on this show is what has allowed him to have over 15 years of experience as an entrepreneur. Here is your host, Micah Logan.
All right, so I am here today with Jody Rowell.
Rowell, but you're good. Rowell.
Okay. All right. And she is, I spoke to Jody about the needs of my franchise business. If you're listening to the podcast on a regular basis, then you know that I started my franchising business. And after I spoke to Jody, I knew I wanted to have her on because she has a wealth of knowledge. Let me tell you a little bit about Jody before we get started. She is born and bred in the business world. She grew up in a family of entrepreneurs, right? Owned several franchises, spent years working in different areas of the business. And over the years, she learned the ins and outs of different types of franchises and was looking to decide what was the best path for her. Was it to own a franchise herself or what to do? But she went into franchising herself, operated several different franchises and franchise development. And she has firsthand experience on how to own and operate a business that uses knowledge with every person that she works with. She holds a master's degree in organizational management, and she has spent years in the corporate training and interviewing, coaching people how to augment their skills to reach their career goals. She is just a guru at what she does. Today, we're going to talk about financing and finding financing for your business. And Jody is obviously no stranger to the desire to leave a corporate career and seek a different path. And she has become an entrepreneur herself. She's owned her own real estate and property management company, became the top selling agent in the firm. She spent 12 years as a franchise consultant helping potential business owners. She has done it all. But today specifically, we're going to talk about how you can fund your business. And Jody is our expert today. Jody, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Mike. I appreciate it.
Did I miss anything? I mean, I have your whole history here and you have quite the extensive one. Did I miss anything important?
No, I think the most important thing is that I've been there, done that. I was in corporate America, thought that was a right place for me to be. And then I found out really quickly. I loved what I did. I was a trainer and things like that, but I hated the politics of corporate America. And I really did not like that no matter how hard I worked, I'd get paid the same. I grew up in a family that I was taught that the harder I worked, the more money I would make, because that's what happens when you're a business owner. Not in corporate America. It seemed like the harder I worked, the more responsibilities I got and actually, in essence, got paid less. Right. So I realized, no, I need to go back to my roots and be an entrepreneur. And I've been there ever since in different components. So again, I know what people are going through. There's a lot of fear and anxiety, but it's, you know, hope and excitement too. And so everyone that I talk with, I can relate because I've been where they're at.
That's awesome. And, you know, it's almost like the smarter you work, the more money you make versus the harder you work. And, you know, that could be different for everyone. And, you know, we're not here to say business ownership is the only path to success or even wealth, but, you know, look, we're a small business podcast and that's what we talk about. So here we are. And today is going to be an interesting topic because a lot of individuals who are coming out of the pandemic has shaken up a lot of people's personal lives. You know, it's funny because individuals who were working previous to the pandemic were kind of in these corporate careers. And then with businesses being shut down and closed, businesses laying off individuals, people have to make different decisions for themselves. And just being at home and people getting accustomed to what it's like to actually have a personal life now for the first time ever, people are kind of rethinking how they want to rework their future. What kind of trends are you seeing? Are you seeing some of these trends yourself and people who are looking to start businesses recently?
Yeah, actually, I've got a lot of recent what people are saying, hey, you know what, I work from home and we're kind of transitioning. And is this the right time for me? You know, sometimes it takes something big for people to look at business ownership, because if there is a lot of fear. A job, in essence, is pretty secure in people's minds, even though it's not. We all know that it's not. We can see that from, you know, COVID. So many people got laid off, but in their minds, it feels secure. But now they're kind of reevaluating things, going, do I want to keep doing what I'm doing? I can work from home. I can kind of go anywhere I want to. Maybe this is the right time for me to start looking at business ownership. And so we do see a lot of people at that point of decision of, what is my next step in my career? And a lot of people think about business ownership as one of those options.
Yeah. And I've also heard of individuals looking into going from like moving from part-time, I mean, full-time employment to part-time employment and kind of sacrificing money just to have, you know, quality of life right now. And I think that's admirable, you know, if they just make some lifestyle adjustments to do so. But it is amazing what happens when you get more of what you never thought you could have, which is time. And
right,
how much you actually like it, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, it's nice to kind of take control over your day. I mean, you know that as a business owner. I mean, you work your guts out as a business owner, but you get to determine what you're spending your time on. Whereas when you work for someone else, they kind of determine what you're going to spend your time on.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely right. So let's talk about one of the paths that an individual can choose, which is small business ownership. And this is kind of where you specialize and kind of, you know, where I specialize as well. And so individuals have decided that they want to make a change in their career from corporate America or middle management, wherever they're working, and they want to start a business. This is now is the time. They've landed on this option as an option. However, after the business plan or during the business planning stages, there has to come funding, because businesses don't come cheap and they don't come free. Despite all the advertisements on Instagram
Absolutely.
And Facebook about you can start this business with just $10 and I'm making $100,000 a month. And like, it's like, no, you know, most people don't, those are scams. Don't buy, do not give that guy or that lady $300 to start your business. You know, and to make $1 million. So funding is a big issue that people bump up against when it's time to start their business. And so when they do, they call someone like you about funding. And what's the number one thing that you think that individuals just don't know when it comes to funding a business? What are they always shocked by, would you say?
I think just kind of what you were talking about is there's so many advertisements that says you can get money for free or this grant or all of those different advertisements. And I think they're shocked that it actually is a lot harder to get funding than they thought. And it's not free.
Right.
If you're going to borrow and use someone else's money, you're going to pay for that. And so they're kind of shocked by, okay, I actually have to, it's work to get funding and it actually costs money to get funding. I think those are the right. big things that people do. And it takes time. A lot of times it takes time. It's not like you're going to get qualified and approved in a day and then the money's in your account the next day. So you kind of have to plan that there is a timeline to get money into your account.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's funny how much people don't think that there is a cost to money. You know, money, like you said, is not free, that you're going to have to pay to play. And that statement is so old, but it's so rich because it makes a lot of sense. And, you know, so then it comes to, if you're going to try to borrow money to get funded, you want to do so in a way that doesn't actually sap you or take away more money than's necessary. You want to start your business with enough capital. However, you don't want that capital to flatten you so that it's costing you way more than it actually should. So what are some of the most common pitfalls when it comes to starting or buying a business? So individuals are, they're coming into a business, they want to buy it. You said the shock, the initial shock of how much it takes to do it. But what are some of the pitfalls in that process of trying to get funded for a business that people fall into?
I think probably the thing that I've seen, and again, my opinion the most, is they think they can do it by themselves, that they are funding experts and they're not. And so they go to a bank and they apply and the bank runs their credit and it's a lot harder than they thought. And then they get denied. And then that's on their credit now. And then they go to another bank and they say they try it here, and then they get denied. And now all of a sudden you have these inquiries on your credit, and any future bank is going to look at that, and that's going to hurt you getting a loan. And so those are some of the pitfalls. Also, you know, in regards to getting loans, you do need to know that the bank is not going to give you 100% of the loan. They're going to want you to have some, you know, skin in the game. And so they may require anywhere from 10 to 30% down of the total amount that you're borrowing. And they also would require what they call post liquidity, which means that they want to have some money, not that you're going to have.
We had a bit of a glitch, folks. So we're just going to have Jody start from what she was saying previously about how individuals get surprised about having to put money into a deal that they didn't know about previously.
Yeah. So again, the bank is not going to want to fund that loan at 100%. That's not what they want to do. They want to make sure that you have some ownership in it as well. So each bank is different, but anywhere from 10 to 30%, they're going to ask for down of the total loan amount. And then they're going to want to see anywhere from 10 to 30% of what they call post liquidity, which is money set aside that you can access if you need it. So let's just say, Micah, something happened to you and you weren't able to run the business for a couple of months. What they don't want to see you do is take money from the business and pay your mortgage, or take money from the business and feed your family. They want to make sure you have some money set aside just in case. And so people don't realize that that's part of the whole process of getting a loan. You have to show these banks that you're qualified, that you're a good borrower, and you know, your credit matters, your down payment matters, you know, your experience matters. They're going to want to see a resume. They're going to want to see a business plan. And so there's a lot of steps that one has to go through to show these banks that you're a qualified candidate for them. Plus, they're going to also want to look at the business. So there's two parts to this SBA loan. They're going to look at the business to make sure that's a qualified, good, solid business opportunity. And they're going to look at you as the borrower. So both components are very important for them to make a decision to lend you money.
It is amazing how people overestimate the credit score's role in obtaining a business loan. It's actually not as big a part of obtaining a business loan as people think. It's actually a very small part of obtaining the business loan. There is so much more, as you just stated, beyond that. And for instance, there are people who actually, like you said, will sit down and pore over, are you in an industry like reasonable enough that they think that they can get the money return on a conservative level? And they're literally actually going to look at your projections. It is amazing how, you know, your credit score is not going to save you. It doesn't matter if it's a 750, 800 credit score. It won't save you if you don't have a solid plan, you know, for the future. In fact, it's not going to factor in as much as people think. If they think that you have the domain expertise and you have the right team around you, that's going to matter so much more to the bank, because a lot of these decisions about funding are made on a subjective personal level, which I found out after getting into business is actually this subjectivity of these loans is a lot higher than I think people assume.
Yeah. And it's not a cookie cutter process. They look at every single person individually and what they bring to the table. And, you know, let's just say that the franchise is not as strong as they'd like it to be. So they're going to put more weight on you, or maybe the franchise is very strong, so they put a little bit less weight on you. They have algorithms and all this stuff to figure out what type of a risk you are. And they take all of those into account.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I guess one of the things when a person's looking to get funded, if they're going the SBA route, SBA, for those listening, Jody, you want to just tell what this SBA stands for? And
yes, Business Administration. It's just a department of our government that what they do is they don't actually give you the money. What they do is they guarantee money to the lenders. So we have the SBAs here, then we have banks here that lend out money, but the SBA guarantees a portion of that to them if you default. And then we have you here. And what we do here at Tenant is we're a broker in between you and the bank. So you have an expert in your pocket that can go back and forth and tell you what you need and how you need to say it, what you need to do. So we're kind of like, we're called SBA brokers or packagers. So we package the loan. So it gets, you have a higher rate of approval than if you were to try to do it all by yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's important, that having that expertise is important, like on your side, because you can deal with both the franchisor and a franchisee, kind of bring them together, kind of help them put together their profile. So I was fascinated the first time I heard about the ROBS plan. And if you're listening to this today, you probably don't know what a ROBS plan is, because I didn't know about it. And I'm not saying that I am the end all be all of what you should know when it comes to business financing, but I don't think most people know about ROBS plans. And Jody, you're an expert in ROBS plans. And so let's start maybe with you telling individuals what the ROBS plan is, and how more people have access to business funding than they probably think.
Yeah, it's actually one of my favorite programs for people. When I was a franchise consultant, I would help, I would say 90% of the people that I put into businesses use the ROBS program. And most of them had no idea about it. Mm-hmm. So it's always fun to kind of tell them something that will benefit them. But what it is ROBS stands for Rollover as Business Startups. It's the IRS named that. I don't like the name. I think it's a not a good name for the IRS to name a program with your retirement ROBS, but they're not known for their marketing. So, so what it is, it's just the government, the IRS allows people like you and me to utilize their retirement to purchase a business. So most people in America are cash poor, but retirement rich. And so the government says you can utilize your retirement to invest in a business. Now, this is different than what we normally think of. We normally, whenever I tell people that, they get anxious right off, like, oh, you're gonna, we're gonna pull money from our retirement. This is not that. This is also not a loan from your retirement. What we're going to do is, right now, most people have their money invested into stocks in publicly traded companies. So they take their money, they invest it into stocks. And as that company then takes their, you know, their money and puts it in their business as working capital and grows the business. And as the business grows, their stock prices increase. It's the same concept. But instead of investing in publicly held stock, we're going to invest in privately held stock. It's going to be stock in their own business. So now they have some control over their retirement. Now they're not just sitting worrying if other people are going to make good choices for their retirement. They actually can look at the owner of their business in, you know, in the mirror every day and ask them, hey, what are you doing with my retirement? How are you growing my retirement? Right. And so they can actually take that money and use it to buy a business and all business expenses. And there's a process to do that, but that's the overall kind of concept, is you can just basically invest in your own business. There's no taxes and penalties. There's no loans that you have to pay back. So you can literally start your business day one, fully funded without any debt. And whenever you start a business without debt, that's always good, because that means you're going to break even faster and make profits quicker, which increases your likelihood of success.
That is amazing. And when I first heard that, I was like, holy smokes, a lot of people don't know about this, and it's gold. Of course, so there are different corporation types for different reasons. And then you would have to, you know, create a corporation, of course. That's part of the process that you'll talk about in a minute. What better opportunity is there than to invest in yourself? So if you really do believe in a business opportunity and you're going from, you know, you're trying to find an investment that you can monitor, that, like you said, control the risk of, because you're operating the business and you know that you're going to oversee the running of it, and you really value the model that you're buying into, or if you're starting it from scratch, obviously this is a great opportunity for you to be able to invest in something for future growth that you can keep in the family for a long time as well.
Absolutely. And most people get nervous about well, if I take out my retirement, then I'll have nothing left in my retirement. And that's a fear of theirs. But if you really look into the plan, you can actually, part of the requirements that the IRS mandates is that you make sure this new 401k plan that you are now having under your corporation has permanency, which means we have to use it for what it's intended for, which is retirement. They don't want you to only use your retirement money to invest in businesses. What they do want is you to continue to invest in your retirement. So we can help structure it so that you're investing back into your retirement and then can match it as a company owner. You can match it at 100%. You can also do profit sharing. So you can actually, if you have any profits in the business, you can put it back into your retirement and, you know, save on taxes. Mm-hmm. There's just so many options that you can do to really build up your retirement as you're a business owner, which a lot of business owners don't do. When they become business owners, they kind of don't do the whole retirement thing. You know, they do it when they're in corporate America, but they don't mm-hmm. do it as a business owner. So this plan creates a 401k within your business that you can fund, but also build up in a way that you could never do when it comes to working for somebody else.
This is literally the definition of creating your own economy as an individual, which is you're creating a corporation that you own and control that is being funded by retirement that came from money that you earned. And you're creating stocks in a company that you're going to give yourself the majority of anyway. And then when you return profits to yourself, you're returning it back tax-free at the beginning because you're putting the profits back into your retirement or putting them into new retirement plans because you created a whole nother 401k with your existing company. I mean, it's such an ingenious way to both keep your money, and from a tax standpoint, sound, but also to make sure that you're getting kind of everything back. You're not wasting a penny. And it's a tremendous usage of retirement money. Why do you think that people have never heard about this?
I think it's because there is, you know, a handful of companies that do this, that help you to set it up and manage this. And, we're not on billboards. We're not on, you know, it's not on commercials and stuff like that. If you ask most franchise owners or franchisors, they know about it, but it's just not marketed in a way. It's an IRS program, but it's just not marketed in a way that like an SBA loan is. But if you do talk with people, you will realize that more and more people do know about it than you think, but mm-hmm. I don't think it's advertised or marketed like banks are.
Right. Yeah. So let's talk about setting up your Rob's plan. That's something that we just mentioned earlier. So what are some of the steps? When we went over them ourselves, they didn't sound too complicated. Now they could sound a little complicated if you've never done something like this before. And maybe I'm saying that because I own a few corporations, but very simply, what are some of the easy steps to setting up a Rob's plan?
Yeah. So there's really four quick steps. And this is what we do at Tenant is we would do it for them. So they don't have to do it all by themselves. So the first step is we create a C corporation. It has to be under a C corporation because it's the only entity that allows for common stock purchases. So it has to be a C corporation. So we set up the corporation and then we set up a 401k plan under the corporation. Just like in every business, they have a corporation and a 401k. I'm sure with the people who are listening to them, if they have a retirement plan, it's the same thing. They have their, here's Disney, and then Disney has a 401k. Apple has a 401k. You know, now you're just doing your own business with a 401k. Mm-hmm. And then the third step is that we roll the money from their current, wherever it's at, the current broker company. And one quick thing that we didn't talk about is that there's two main types of retirement that will not work with this type of plan. A Roth, because that's already been taxed, it has to be pre-tax money, mm-hmm. or if you're currently contributing in your retirement plan, so a current employer. most employers, they don't want you to take money from their current plan and put it somewhere else. So it has to be from a previous employer, a traditional IRA, a SEP IRA. There's a lot of different types of plans, but those are the two big ones that it would not work. So, right. And what we would take is, you know, let's just say that their money is in Fidelity, just like you would if you rolled over from one brokerage to another. It's the same concept. We just take it from the current qualified retirement plan, we roll it over into the new company 401k plan. And then once it's there, we then put it in your business checking account. And once it leaves the retirement plan and goes into your business checking account, it is no longer retirement funds. It is now company cash. And that company cash can be used to pay for franchise fees, building, your salary, anything related to that business. And then we're done. And it takes about 3 to 4 weeks from the time that you say, let's do this, to the time money's in your business checking account.
Awesome. So let's talk about the Roth and if you're currently contributing, because this indicates that a person has to be in typically a specific situation in order to use it. So let's talk about that. So this would mean in this particular case that an individual looking to use a Roth plan to start a business would more likely than not have had to have stopped working at a company. Maybe they're in transition and they're going from a company to a company and they haven't like subscribed to the next 401k yet. Maybe they got laid off like because of the pandemic, let's say, and their money's parked in a 401k. It's not being actively contributed to. And they're thinking about next steps. Should I start a business? Should I go back to work? And so this would be a good time to investigate using that money.
Absolutely.
Or it could be a situation where an individual has a 401k with substantial money or money enough from a 401k 2 jobs ago, which they couldn't roll over to whatever company they're at right now. But because they could still be contributing to their current 401k, but they could have a 401k with money in it already from a couple of jobs ago that they can then use as the cash to roll over in the Roth. So I have that right?
Yes. So there are some, you know, if you're wondering, if you're listening to this and you're wondering, like, could I use my current 401k? What you would have to do is just go to your human resource department or, you know, whoever administers the plan and ask if they would allow for an in-service distribution. So a very small percentage of companies today will allow you to use it, but more than likely they'll say no. And so if that's the case, those scenarios where you had money from a previous employer that you can access, a traditional IRA, you know, something that if you're planning to leave, we have to wait for you to quit first and get your last paycheck. Then we can use this. So some people kind of wait and know they're going to leave and start a business. So we can wait until your last day and then start it. So it just has to usually be from a previous employer or a traditional IRA or something that has already been pre-taxed.
So one of the things I talk about, so I also do small business consulting. And so oftentimes what comes up is we talk about life. We talk about what do you want your future to look like? And the reason why that's an important question when you're starting a business is because that dictates what you do presently in the decisions you make presently and how you plan to execute some of those current present decisions to ensure that your future is taken care of. So this also means that if an individual, they're like, oh, I want to start a business in 10 years or whatever the case is, and they're going to move from company to company. So they would have to plan in advance to roll over their 401k or to keep it parked where it is to use that money that they've already saved for a Roth plan in the future. It, you know, assuming that their company is not, we know that the 2 out of 1,000 companies that have the in-service distribution, because I'm assuming there's a cost to it to the company that they don't want to pay, which is probably why they don't do it. Then they have to leave the money there. So it's a decision that needs to be made about whether or not they continually roll over money from 401k to 401k, or do they continue to start 401ks along the way? And that is a decision that is something that kind of goes with that life decision about, do you want to start a business and what's your timetable and when are you looking to start a business? Would you say that's fair?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, one thing also that we haven't talked about is, let's just say that someone has $100,000 in their retirement that they can access. but the business costs $350,000. Well, you can actually use the ROBS program for your cash injection and your cash reserve for an SBA. So you can actually go hand in hand with both. So sometimes people feel deflated because they go, well, I don't have enough money to use all of my retirement to spend and buy a business, but they could actually use it in conjunction with an SBA loan. And the SBA absolutely counts that as a cash injection as well as their cash reserve. So a lot of people I work with do a little bit of both.
Does the current contributing restriction still apply for that in that case? Still,
say that again. What do you mean with that?
So like we talked about how they can't be currently contributing to use all their money to form a whole new company. But if it's just partial money, does the rule still apply?
Absolutely. Yeah. The IRS has very strict guidelines about what they will allow and will not allow.
Okay. All right. And now what are the fees associated with doing a ROBS program, like from like a 401k side, right? Like, is there something that they need to be, if they're listening to this, they're like, okay, this sounds actually pretty good. I've never heard about this before. I'm thinking about it. Are there fees charged to an individual looking to start a business?
Absolutely. Just like we talked about in the beginning, it definitely costs money to get money and to utilize money. Mm-hmm. So for normally most people, you know, most companies that do what we do charge around $49.95. to get everything set up. So that would be creation of your C corporation, setup of your 401k plan, your articles of incorporation. We would send you, you know, usually send corporate binders that have your minutes and bylaws and your corporate seal and your stock certificates and all of that. Plus, we also will have a capitalization meeting when the money's in the business account with your CPA, us and yourself to balance the books. Because one thing we also didn't talk about is that the IRS has certain regulations of how they want this structured. And one of the things that they say is that not one person or entity can own more than 95% of the stock in a corporation. And not one person or entity can own less than 5%. So how we structure it at Tenet is that the 401k plan owns 95% of the stock. And then the individual will own 5% of stock as a personal stock owner. So we set it up as 95-5. And so that helps us to make sure we're compliant with all of the IRS regulations. And so at that capitalization meeting, we'll balance the books, making sure that your 5% owner in the, you know, the ROBS program is 95. And all of that costs $4,995. But the good news about that is that, you remember how I said you have to be a 5% stock owner? That cost to set it up can count towards your 5% stock ownership. So if you had, you know, if you had $100,000 from your 401k, I always say, let's just pretend that 401k is a person and his name is Rob, since it's the ROBS program. He's going to bring in $100,000 and Rob says you have to bring in $5,000. That $5,000 that you spent to set it up can count towards your stock ownership. So in essence, you are paying for it to set it up, but it also counts towards your stock ownership of the business.
Right.
And if your stock ownership is less than that $49.95, then Rob will reimburse you the difference, because you're only going to be a 5% 95 to the penny.
Right.
So that's good to know. And then also other expenses is that the IRS says that you should have a third party stock valuation done every year. Mm-hmm. And that costs anywhere from $99 to $300 year one. And then year two, it's because it's more of a market-based valuation, years two and on, is anywhere from $495 to $600. Mm-hmm. And then you will also pay a fee every month to manage your 401k. Mm-hmm. And again, that's what we do here at Tenet, is that we manage that 401k. We do all of your contributions, keep track of that for you and your employees. We do all of your year-end testing for the IRS. Basically, we're the administrators of your plan, and it costs $135 a month. But again, all of those are business expenses that you can write off.
But what they're avoiding, assuming that they have enough capitalization, is interest on that, right? Is there?
So it's not a loan. So is that what you're talking about? So
yes, exactly.
There's no money to pay back. So there's no interest on it or anything like that. So you're basically buying stock. And so there's not a loan to pay back. So there's no interest or anything like that, that you will not have to pay.
So the cost of your, the cost of your money. So going back to our like original conversation, the cost of your money to get your Rob's plan started is $5,000. And I mean, really the reality for that is if you think about how much you would pay in business loan interest, that $5,000 could be like, you know, anywhere between 2, 3, 4, 5 months of loan payment. Right. So like,
oh, absolutely.
You're really saving tons of money long-term by using your own money and setting up and structuring your corporation in a way to get yourself self-funded. So what are some other unique ways to fund a business that you're aware of? So we talked about SBA lending, some of the requirements there and what a loan officer might look for when putting together your package. We talked about the Rob's program. Are there other unique ways that you see people funding businesses? I mean, obviously there's the family and friends, you know, there's growing at the rate of cash and bootstrapping it. Is there anything else that you see coming down the pike in financing?
I would say the other thing is unsecured term loans. So those are for people that, for several reasons, maybe they don't have the 401k, so that's not an option. They don't have the down payment or the cash reserves for the SBA, but they want a loan. So there are programs that there's no collateral attached. It's a personal loan, so it's not a business loan, but it's a personal loan. And there's no down payment. There's no cash reserve. You're basically getting a loan based upon your credit score, your income, your debt to income ratio, and, you know, just making sure that you're a strong borrower. And you can get anywhere from $25,000 up to $250,000. And it's very easy. Like SBA loans take, you know, 3 months plus. Mm-hmm. This one, you can have it from the time that you say, yes, I want to do this, to the time that there's money in your account, 3 to 4 weeks.
Wow.
And on average, you know, it's a 5 to 7 year loan. Mm-hmm. And on average, it's about 8 to 10%. Again, yep. The stronger the borrower you are, the better terms you're going to get when it comes to the loan. But that's a great option for people. And some people say, okay, I don't have that, but I really do want an SBA. Well, what they can do is they can get a term loan at first. Let's just get you into the race. Mm-hmm. Let's get you buying a business. Then once that business is up and running for at least 2 years and is showing profitability, we can go back to the SBA and get a business loan and pay off the term loan. And now you have an SBA loan. So again, like you said, let's look at the big picture. If the big picture is for you to be a business owner, then let's do what we need to do to get you in the race. And then sky's the limit. You can go anywhere that you want once we're in the race.
It is amazing that it's amazing how many people don't, they choose one option. It doesn't work out. And then they're like, oh, well, it didn't work out. Like I'm moving on, going back to work. I'm just going to contribute to my 401k, you know, but like there are options out there. And, you know, it's also amazing how many times you can go back to the well of the SBA and how much they allow you. Assuming your business is doing, you know, fairly well, the SBA will continue to allow you to dip into the well if you're paying back on time and everything checks out. And these financial the banks want you to borrow money. And so, and you know, everyone makes money when the business is successful and when you're doing well. So it is amazing how often. I remember I was talking to an SBA bank here in Massachusetts about a loan, and they were willing, for instance, after they had funded my loan, to let me come back 3 months later to get more. Yeah. Yeah. They were like, well, if we notice that this is all well, all you have to do is send us back your P&L for the 3 months in between, you can come back and then we'll give you a little more money after that. And I was like stunned by this. You know, banks don't make money unless they're pushing money out the door. And I think that's an important thing for people to know, like not to be scared. You know, there's just people on the other side, you know, establishing good relationships, this is why I don't like mobile banking all that much, because it takes away some of that personal relationship from you knowing the people at your bank. And I'm a big fan of community banks. So like community banks to me make a big difference, because those relationships, if you were on the edge of being a borrower, that those relationships could put you over the top.
Absolutely. And just know that there are experts out there who can help you, and don't feel like, I know that fear keeps us where we're at because we're just so scared of the unknown. You know, ride the shirt tails of someone who's been there, done that, and can help you and guide you. I mean, if the goal is to be a business owner, there are people out there who can help you, who can guide you, who can hold your hand. I mean, they can't do it for you, but they can be by your side, coaching you through the whole plan and the whole way so that you can accomplish your goals. You just need to have the desire and the resilience to keep at it until you get to where you want to be.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. And so that's why, like, you know, for our franchise with Meld, you know, one of the things that's important for us is to have good partners who know this stuff, you know, like Tenet, you know this stuff cold. And so when you can send someone who's looking to finance with, you know, to finance and get started with like a Rob's program, like, it's so important to have a good team around you. We talk about, everyone talks about attorneys, everyone talks about accountants, which are really important and critical to have, but having a good finance team in place, if you're looking to get in business, is super important, especially if you're looking to scale beyond your first location or beyond your first year in business. And, you know, you have a 3 to 5 year plan when you want to have multiple locations, it's important to get a finance team in place so that people can kind of go over your goals. And I also learned it's important to tell your goals to your team as well, because without them knowing exactly what your long-term goals are, they're not going to be able to look out for you when things happen, right? So there may be a change in the IRS code that actually makes something a little bit more flexible for you. There may be, you know, every administration is different. So one administration, a presidential administration I'm talking about, may come in and they may relax rules with the SBA with certain things. It's important for you to know that. And so when you have a good relationship with your finance team, they're going to be able to actually keep you up to date with things that may help you further your goals. They may say, hey, look, I know that you wanted another location within the next 18 to 24 months. And you seem to be, send me your P&L. You seem to be doing pretty well. Guess what? New rule just came out. You can do this now. Like, I'm looking out for you. And so what I noticed is having that good relationship with, you know, a good finance partner really does help you achieve your goals in the time that you want to achieve them.
Absolutely. And again, people are they're kind. They're willing to share and educate and help you to get to where you need to go. And maybe the answer is just not yet. And these are the things that you need to do to get there. Mm-hmm. But again, it's the long-term goal. If it takes me 3 years, then let's do it. I mean, that's, at least I'm heading in a direction instead of just giving up and going back to the thing that I'm miserable at, you know. Yeah. Having people to be your expert, to help you to know what you can do and that what you still need to do in order to accomplish your goals.
So before we end, Jody, any suggestions on what people should start thinking about? Let's say their goal is within the next, maybe let's call it 2 to 4 years, they want to start a business. What should they be thinking about right now in terms of funding and getting themselves together and ready for that?
Again, probably the most important thing is to kind of take a look at where they're at and what they have currently. You know, if they have money in their 401k, you know, how much is it? If they're looking for an SBA, you know, to start saving for that down payment and that cash reserve, making sure that their credit is good, you know, no defaults or late payments, all of those obviously are going to hurt you. And then just start looking for the type of business that they want to do. There's franchise consultants out there free of charge to them. It doesn't cost them a penny to start doing research and figuring out what kind of a business owner they are and profiling them and then helping them to find different franchises. So at least they know how much their investment is.
Right.
You know, do they want a home business? Do they want an office business? Do they want, you know, a storefront? Kind of just figuring out what they want and figuring out what the number is and then what we need to do to get to that number.
Yeah. Yeah, that's absolutely right. So how can people contact you if they want to learn more about Rob's, And if they want to kind of hear a little bit more, they want you to round things out for them for their own personal circumstances, how can they get in contact with you?
They can call me just direct at 801-494-1652, or they can send me an email, J-O-D-I, so Jody, my first name, at tenantfinancialgroup.com. Or you can go on to the Tenant Financial Group website. I have a landing page on there that, you know, says my name, and click on there and contact me through that direction as well.
Awesome. And I will put all that in the show notes so that people will be able to contact you directly themselves. You're brave for giving out your number over the podcast.
Educate and help and do what I need to do to help people to at least get in the game. That's my job, is just to help them understand what their funding options are so that they can have knowledge to know what the next step is.
Yes. It, you know, I always say this quote in almost every podcast I give. It's from Thomas Sowell, who said, it takes an immense amount of knowledge to understand the extent of your own ignorance. So the more things that you know about where you are or where you aren't, you know, the first step to building a successful business is figuring out where you are in space. And in fitness, we call this proprioception. It's your body's neurological ability to know where it is in space. That's why you can close your eyes and touch your nose. That's all part of proprioception. And so for you to understand that in a business sense, you have to know kind of what you don't know first. And then once you start there, then you can kind of get some direction about where you need to go. You're 100% right.
Absolutely. And one other thing, you know, knowledge dispels fear. Buying a business is a scary thing. It is. It brings up a lot of fear. But the more knowledge that you have, the less fearful you're going to be, because you have information. And so just educating yourself, getting the information, will help you to move to that next step.
Yeah. Yeah. I completely agree. All right. Well, that was Jody. Jody has immense knowledge. She can help you. And I thank you so much for coming on today and sharing your expertise. I can't wait to see what calls you get from this and how, you know, what stories shake up, and we can revisit it on the podcast again and we can see how things worked out. But I'm so glad that we were able to kind of bring something to the fore that maybe many people don't know about that could actually help them get started with their businesses. So thank you for your knowledge today.
Oh, I've loved every second of it. Thanks for having me.
No problem. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of The Common Sense Show, hosted by Micah Logan. The producer for The Common Sense Show is Paul Logan. To reach out to Micah and The Common Sense Show, talk to us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search The Common Sense Show. And if you enjoy the show, please don't forget to rate and or review us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. Thank you for listening.